afternoon, and thank you for joining BHS Help Desk Live. I'm Jen Scheffer. This is our third episode, and I'm really thrilled today to have our guest joining us, Sarah Dion, and she's somebody that I've been trying to get to come speak to my classes live and in person for years now, but because of her schedule, it's been difficult for her to do that. So thanks to Google Hangouts On Air, we can take advantage of this technology, and she can meet with us virtually. So the host of today's show is, once again, Mira, who hosted last week. So I'm going to let Mira give a brief introduction to Sarah, our guest for today.
Okay, so I'm Mira. I'm a junior at Burlington High School, and this is my second time hosting Help Desk Live. And I have a part of a bio that I'm going to read about Sarah. So Sarah is a senior director, talent operations for Comcast Cable Communications, and she is currently leading all talent operations for the Central Division Talent Organization, responsible for attracting and hiring approximately 10,000 employees every year. Today, Sarah will be talking with us about her career path and what she looks for when recruiting talent, the role technology plays in her industry, and what students can do now to prepare themselves for a future career in the business world.
Excellent. So, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. That was great. Mira's going to lead the questions, and you know, one of the reasons, too, I thought it was important to have you as a guest, Sarah, was because a lot of students are interested in business and technology. It's a really popular major. We have a business department here at Burlington, and I know that it's one of the most popular college majors out there. So just hearing your, you know, story and your background and getting advice, I thought was really important for students. So thank you for taking time out of your day. I know your schedule is really hectic and crazy, so I really want to thank you for joining us. And Mira's going to start off with the first question.
Absolutely. Okay,
so, my first question is, could you tell us about your educational background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say I went the traditional route. I graduated high school and immediately went off to the four-year college. Went to UNH, so fairly local. Had no plan. In full disclosure, I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't sure what I was trying to do. Fell into communications and found that that world really suited me well. So I went for 4 years, graduated from UNH, and then started working immediately. For me, I always knew I wanted to keep going. I wanted to get my master's, but I felt like I need to know what I want to do before you put the time and energy into that. So I really waited until I actually worked for a couple of years and I had some context and understood, you know, what is the business world like? Do I even like, you know, being here, or is there another path that I might want to take? And for me personally, I learn best when I have context that I can set what I'm learning into. So I worked for a couple of years and then I started getting my master's at night. And I went for business because I found the business world did suit me well. So that took me about 2.5 years, nights and weekends, while working to be able to get that degree. And then from there, once I graduated with that, you know, from a formal perspective, I wasn't really looking to move on to get my doctorate, you know, not where I'm looking ahead right now. But after a few more years, I get antsy. I'm one of those people that feels like you always need to be learning something new, otherwise you start to get stale. So I ended up actually working with Boston University has an online project management program. It took me about 9 months. It was a very intensive program, and you're learning from beginning to end that project management process and how that works. And you know, you get a certificate from BU from doing that. So I worked through that. And then just this past year, I started to get antsy again. So I actually obtained my SPHR, which is a Senior Professional Human Resources Certificate. So it's really the leading industry certification regarding this field and the profession. So I'm sure, you know, by the end of this year, I'm going to be looking for whatever my next thing is, because I start to get that bug again and want to be able to do something. But formally, I would say that's where my education went. I would say informally, though, another key piece for me and a key piece for the business world is staying current on what is happening around you. Not even necessarily just in business, but what is happening in politics or what is happening that may be impacting your world day to day. So I'm a big believer in, you know, reading the newspaper. I have, you know, my iPad with the New York Times subscription on it so that I'm always trying to stay up to date on what's happening there. I also do a lot of, we do a lot of webinars in our industry, in HR and in recruiting, where it's an hour-long type, you know, similar to this, it's an hour-long type thing specific to a subject matter, and you're on there learning about usually a case study from another company or a research paper, and it just helps give you new ideas and new ways of thinking about things that you may have not been thinking about. So I really, I like to spend a lot of time doing that when I can and encourage people, you know, on my team to do those kinds of things as well.
Yeah, that
gives her a lot of things to think about.
Yeah,
and
I think that's I liked how informally you said, like, keeping based on like what's happening currently and everything. And I always try to do that too, you know.
Yeah, you never know what you might learn.
Right, and since they have iPads, you know, having access to the internet 24/7. Is a great thing. Mira is not only in the help desk program, but she's also in the new TED Ed club that we have here. So I think that having that device and having access to all that information at their fingertips allows them to explore topics that they're really interested in. And I love, you're essentially talking about the mission statement of many schools, which is lifelong learning. I think Dr. Dion has a very nice
title. Yes. Oh, yeah, I could get used to it.
Yeah, I relate to that. You know how long I've been in school. We kind of have shared war stories with that and the balancing act of continuing ed, but it is so important, and there is so much to learn. So that's really important advice, you know, great advice to share with the students. And I'm just going to go off the script a little bit because you mentioned that you earned your master's degree. How important is that in, you know, because I've been reading, you know, in today's business world, the MBA really doesn't mean much anymore. I mean, is it a necessity? Is it a given that you must earn your MBA if you're going to be competitive in the business world?
I do. So it's not about, for me, and the way that I see employers look at it is that they want to see an individual who is constantly going through self-improvement, constantly educating themselves, constantly wanting to grow. And I think the MBA is a really good vehicle to be able to do that. And it does it in a way that, for me, especially having worked before I got my MBA and while doing it, you can take it very real time. It's a very different kind of learning than I think you experience in high school and, you know, when you're in your undergrad. So I do feel that it is something that's important because you take what you're learning and you're able to apply it to your everyday as you're learning it, and that sets you up to kind of for long-term strategies of how you're approaching things. So it's not as much of a, well, I've checked the box off and I've learned how to do this, you know, accounting, whatever it is. You start taking those tools and you use them moving forward in your career, and that's why for me I do think that, you know, it definitely is something that is a benefit, and I do think employers would look at it as a benefit as well. But I think they look at anything, any certifications, just that continuous learning that you're that kind of individual that's always looking to, you know, what's my next goal? How can I improve? How can I keep going? And that's something that people look for.
Great. You want to ask about the typical day?
Yeah, sure. So I have like a four-part question. You kind of already answered the first part. How did your career path like evolve? And what's a typical day like for you? What you like most about your job? And what's the most challenging part of your job?
Yeah, so if I talk about my career path a bit, I think I, you know, I gave full disclosure at the beginning that I was not someone that grew up and said, you know what, I want to be a photographer. And I love that, and that's going to be my life. I was more of the individual that I just like to get things done. Like, that is who I am. I'm good at getting things done. I'm good at diagnosing issues and figuring out how to move forward on them. And I think that's why business fit well. So I actually started my career on the phones in customer service. At the time, I was working for Fidelity Investments. And it is and I still believe it is, even, you know, at Comcast now, it is one of the hardest jobs there is out there. Being a phone-based customer service agent is a very difficult job. But for me, it was a fabulous way to learn the nuts and bolts of a company. You get to see the business needs, the customer needs, how that all intertwines, and really what's happening day to day. What I did, though, once I was there, because, you know, being on the phones forever, what probably just was not my career path, is I started looking for opportunities. So where can I add value? What else can I do? And I had volunteered to actually become a trainer for new hires and help new hires that, you know, once they were joining us. And that really led me down the HR path because I started with that experience and it allowed me to move over into HR. So from there, my career really has all been in the operations standpoint, HR and recruiting, so I have done both sides of the house. I even, you know, took that and worked a marketing job for a while, selling, not necessarily selling, but consulting with Fortune 500 companies and developing products, specifically succession planning for them to use in their organization. So I've been able to use that experience in a couple of different ways. And most recently, you know, I've been at Comcast for about a little over 5 years now, still working those same kind of things, very operations focused, you know, currently in the talent space. That said, I don't know that there is such a thing as a typical day in the business world, and that's probably part of what I like about that so much. I mean, I have days where, you know, I'm going from a plane to a hotel room to an office back to the hotel room. Then I have days where I could be on conference calls for 9 hours. But it's really all about, each day is about how do we deliver value to the business. So what is it that currently in recruiting, what can we do every day to bring value to our business? And that's what we're always working through. And I like that piece of it. I get bored quickly. So always being able to say, okay, what's next? What do we have going on today? What do we need to work through? That works well for me. I think the other piece of what I like, you know, in my current job and in the business world is who you work with. For me, you know, my team, my boss, kind of that unit that we have and what we do together is critical for me because that's something that I enjoy and I love being able to at the end of, you know, whether it's a month or a year or whatever it is, look at the team and say, look at the goals you just accomplished and look what that did for the business. You know, did you impact revenue? You know, what did we do? That's a huge win for me and something that I really love about the business space and what I'm currently doing. I think one of the challenges is the obvious challenge. It's that work-life balance. And I don't think work-life balance, I don't know that that's really attainable. I think it's work-life integration. And how do you figure out how to make both things work? You know, if you have to be somewhere for a family, can you be taking a call on the way, you know, so that you can keep things moving? That's for me one of the challenges that I face in the business environment. That and figuring out where one can eat healthy in an airport is another, another challenge that I'm often faced with.
Could you speak to the amount of travel that is required? Because I know that dealing a lot with high school seniors who share openly about their career goals, you know, the idea of traveling all the time is exciting and it's something that they really want to do. And I just know from hearing some of your stories that may not be the reality behind and she's shaking her head like, so could you shed some light on what it's like to be a, you know, person who has to travel extensively for
So, you know, the reason that we travel a lot is to make sure that we're out there with the correct, you know, with whether it's my team, whether it's our business partners. We're doing it because we want to make sure we're building the right relationships and, you know, going back to ensuring that we're all delivering the right things. It definitely is not as glamorous, though, as a lot of people might think it is. I mean, I've had situations where I've gotten someplace and I no longer had luggage and had to go to a business meeting, you know, and I got the luggage back hours later duct taped together with half my stuff gone. We have weather like we've had this week and suddenly you're stuck in an airport for the night and then what do? So for me, it's just a means to how do we get to our business partners, how do we get to our teams, to ensure that, you know, we're doing what we need to be doing. So it's sort of one of those necessary elements of my position that I do.
I think it's really cool how it's something different every day. Because some people get so, like, bored with their job because it's just the same routine every single day. So it's really cool that you don't really know what to expect next.
Yeah, and that's what keeps it exciting. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I like what you said about relationships and building relationships, and that's what I'm trying to do here with the help desk is really instill in the students that run this little mini enterprise here that it is about relationships. And, you know, we want to solve problems for people, but we also want them to feel as though, you know, this is a place where they can brainstorm with students and transform lessons and assessments. And we had a teacher come in here earlier today, and I was able to leave the room, and my student Genius Bar staff members were working with her on creating an iMovie project. Mm-hmm. So building that relationship and is crucial. And I think it's
absolutely
great
is.
To have this program here that, you know, hopefully the students will be getting the foundation here and then they can take that with them to whatever industry they end up in. So
yeah. I mean, and honestly, you make a good point about relationships, and it's not just about, I mean, it's absolutely critical in the workday to get, you know, get to where you need to be, but it's also critical to get you through your career path. I got my first job because of a relationship that I had. It was all about my network, and it was, you know, I happened to know someone that worked at Fidelity that was able to refer me in, and that is critical as you go through your career, is to have those kind of networks out there, because they're often the people that are your champions for you. They're the ones that are thinking, oh, you know what? Jen could do this job. Or, you know what? You should talk to this person. That's how, you know, that's how your networks work. And that is something that is critical, I think, to be successful as well.
I feel like your contacts kind of get you there, but you, what you know keeps you there.
Absolutely. You need to deliver once you're there. You're absolutely correct.
Do you want to, that sort of segues into the next question about technology,
yeah,
which we have for you.
I was wondering, what kind of technology do you use in your job, and what technical skills do you expect your employers to
have? Yeah, so we use sort of the basics, you know, especially in recruiting. So we've all got the laptops, and, you know, you have to be proficient in the office programs when you work in most businesses, because that's what we're using all the time. From a communication standpoint, though, we do use our technology in a few different ways. We use, you know, instant messaging so that we can constantly be in contact and talking, and we have a video component of that so we can actually just have conversations. And when you have a virtual team, that's pretty critical. And I do happen to have a virtual team, so to be able to have those conversations and build those relationships, even if you can't be together, is pretty critical. I think what's key for individuals coming into the business world is knowing how to use all of those tools from a communication standpoint. So how do you use, you know, whether it is, you know, your Facebook or your Twitter accounts, how do you use that to communicate? And how do you use it in a way to build your networks like we were talking about and get those individuals' relationships built to be supporting you?
You're prompting another question. So when you speak about Facebook and Twitter, and if you're going through the recruiting process, you know, we talk a lot in education about how employers and admission folks may be scrutinizing students' digital footprint.
Yeah.
And digging into, you know, Google searching applicants. And is that a practice that you employ when you're screening applicants? You know, how important is it for a recruit to have a professional versus a public personal profile? How does that all work?
And I've read all of those kind of articles too about companies that you know do that and do that digging in. My recommendation in my own personal practice is you need to keep it separate. You need your business in your networking profile, and you need your personal profile. And those really should not overlap for the most part, because you want to ensure that you're showcasing the kinds of things you're doing, like, you know, the TED-Ed talks that you're doing, you know, or the movies that you were talking about that you're creating, or, you know, marketing projects. You don't want to showcase those next to whatever it was you were doing over the weekend. That, you know, you really want to come to the table, I think, from a social network perspective. And I know we were going to talk a little bit about digital citizenship. And to me, that's what it is. You want to make sure that you have a solid profile out there and a footprint out there that really is about your accomplishments, about, you know, what you bring to the table and the value that you provide.
That's great. That's great advice. And I'm seeing more and more students utilize LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a public LinkedIn account, and then they also have a public Twitter account. But it seems as though the Twitter use by many students is for the personal reasons.
Yep.
But then the LinkedIn, they're trying to dip their toe into the professional realm.
Absolutely.
But I feel like they are really not equipped yet to understand just how powerful LinkedIn is.
Yes.
And it's important, but I'm concerned a little bit because I'm seeing students, you know, that are disclosing their entry level positions right now that they have in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my advice as an educator, and career preparation is something that I am really passionate about for young people. I would advise them to, you know, maybe in their summary, talk about what their goal is in terms of their career. Not, you know, I'm a hostess right now at the local restaurant. It's, you know, I'm an aspiring, you know, HR professional.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not, it's being honest about what your goals are and what your career is, you know, what your aspirations are. So what is your advice on that platform?
Yep. Yeah, so LinkedIn is the number one recruiting tool. So especially when you think about leadership positions, we use LinkedIn extremely heavily. I would say I log on at least, you know, once a day. So we definitely use LinkedIn heavily. What I would recommend is LinkedIn can be a place where you can also showcase some of the accomplishments that you've had. You know, whether it be a project in school or, you know, when you're in college, whether it be, you know, if you start a club or something like that that you own, it's another great place to be able to highlight those kinds of accomplishments. Because when we typically look at our frontline, you know, employees in those entry-level jobs, we know that you're not necessarily going to have years of experience doing something specific. But what have, you know, there are still things that you've done that showcase that you do still have that same skill set and are willing to learn, you know, as you go in a new organization. So I think you can use it to highlight those kinds of things as well. You know, in addition to what you were talking about with these are my goals, this is what I'm looking to do in the future. It's also, you know, from there, this is where you start building your network and you can start connecting with people. You know, asking them about, you know, could I talk to you just to learn about this industry? Because this is something I want to do, or, you know, this is a skill set that I want to have. How did you get there? And being able to have those one-on-one conversations so that you can learn from individuals as well.
Yeah, it's great to have these tools that students can take advantage of. And Mira actually has the opportunity to attend a Chamber of Commerce meeting, a multi-commerce meeting. So I, you know, presented the opportunity to my students and said, you know, this is something that you should not pass up. I didn't have opportunities like this.
No.
When I was your age. I don't know if you did, but, you know, I'm thinking to myself, and it's like you said, to make the network connections and to have those face-to-face conversations and to follow up by, you know, maybe finding those people on LinkedIn.
And thanking them for their time and starting to build those relationships, because even if it's not for a job, because you may not be ready for that, they may have a project coming up that you can volunteer for and bring some of the skills of the classroom to show that you, you know, you are learning those skill sets and it's something that you want to use.
Absolutely. I know I'm hearing more and more about the job prospects for millennials and how, you know, their generation has is faced with the greatest challenges, more so than the baby boomers or any other generation before them, because of you know, the economy, and I think the competition is
there
too. So I think we're going to skip ahead to the one of the other questions. We're looking at our script, and I actually need to check the time, too. Speaking of being a digital citizen, I shut my phone off so I wouldn't get any be interrupted. It's 1:28, and I know that we were going to wrap it up at 1:30, and I know you have other conference calls you need to get to, but I'm going to let Mira ask the final question.
Absolutely.
Whatever she's...
Okay. So which social media tools do you think high school students should be using to connect with others in the digital world, and also how can students use these tools to show that they are a responsible digital citizenship?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think this goes back to some of what we were talking about. I would definitely start to use LinkedIn, start to be familiar with it, start to see what's out there and how it works. It's never too early to start building your networks. I mean, my first job, that gentleman that helped me into my first position was someone that I met when I had used to work at a golf course all throughout high school. And I just happened to keep in touch with him. I don't think we had LinkedIn back then, but I was able to keep in touch with him, and he was able to help me. So I don't think it's ever too early to start that. You know, and the other piece for me is really highlighting your accomplishments. You know, when it comes to your more of the professional space and the things that you've been doing in school, the things that you do, you know, maybe in clubs or, you know, sports outside of school, those are the things that you want to start highlighting now and getting in front of. And I think, you know, that is sort of the best way to build a solid footprint from the early stages of your career.
Well, this has been fantastic advice, so I thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For spending the time with us. The snow day and the delay and everything happening, it's like this was going to happen no matter
what. Absolutely, and I'm so glad that I had the opportunity, and, you know, we'd love to come back and keep having the conversation.
I would love to have some of your team members.
Absolutely.
You know, who may be just starting out their career path to join up maybe for a future episode, especially if they were in different parts of the country, if we were all, you know,
We've got Denver and Chicago and Atlanta, so they would love to all join.
That would be awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And we'll definitely be sharing your sentiments and advice with all of our students and with the world. So I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.